This podcast is brought to you by Living Word Fellowship out of Loveland, Ohio. For more information, visit us at www.livingwordexamples.com.
So let's begin the Word today. God is so awesome. I had a great week. I spent more time with my wife, which was cool, because you find that sometimes your spiritual condition, turn me down a little bit, sometimes your spiritual condition determines how you see other people. Have you figured that one out yet in your life? So it has everything to do with where your heart is as to how you see other people. And so you have to guard your heart for that reason so that you are pure and clean before them. In fact, Scripture says that you see God based on your own heart. In other words, the truth of God is either known or not known based on where your heart is. It's not that God changed. Is that your heart changed and your vision is skewed potentially. And the Scripture that says that to the wayward, God appears tricky, but to the pure at heart, he appears faithful. Make sense? So to the wayward, God appears tricky. It's, God's just trying to do these things. But a wayward person doesn't really want to know or obey God. That's why they can't see God clearly. But to a person who is pure of heart, they see God as faithful. He doesn't try to trick you. He's always there for you. He's not trying to do you out of things. He's actually trying to give you more blessings. But do you see what the difference was? The different God didn't change. Our view of God changed. And we have to be on guard when we are spiritually weak, when we are spiritually skewed, when the devil's got hold of our hearts or our minds or our souls. Whenever that is happening, you have to be careful with the people around you because you may see them potentially as evil or against you or trying to get you, and you're wrong. Can you say amen? You're wrong. It's your perception. That's why I hate, and I've actually challenged people when they say, perception is reality. If that's true, you're a mess. Okay? If that's true, the world is a mess. Perception is not reality. It's not. We have to decide that perception has to line up with the truth. And when it lines up with the truth, your life goes really well. Things are cool. The things you do actually work. That's when perception and reality, your perception and the reality, actually line up. And so simply, when people challenge you about, so what's different about Christianity and how's that better than other religions, you want to know why? Because it's true. Because it's true. And that's one of the reasons why I want to teach on religion, because two things are happening. Number one, we're throwing out tradition and religion as if it was ugly and bad, and it's not. Number two, we're confused because we see similarities in other religions, and we think that they came up with it on their own. The reality is we all started with God, we all started together, and so when we got split apart, we decided what was truth and what was not. And when we decided what was truth and what was not, the devil got involved and we got into error. So our perception is not reality. And sometimes we have to see the whole picture in order to pull those things together. Now all of a sudden, all the religions make sense to me. It's actually pretty simple. You want to know what the difference is? There's the devil's religion and God's. That's it. It's cut and dry. And you can see the point in history when the devil introduced his religion and where people went off. Now, the devil's religion has various little offtakes from it. There are different versions of it. Because he's a liar and because he likes to lie. And he has typically perverted the truth of God and twisted it just enough for it to be all these different other religions. That's what's happened. So I hope you come because you're going to see it very clearly. It is documented very well. And it is well understood historically, but for some reason the church hasn't understood it. And we are saying things about religion that are just patently untrue because we really don't understand it. So in all you're getting, get understanding. Amen? That's what God says. Because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that is happening today. How many of you know that? People are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Even Christians, even the elect will be deceived. Why? Because they're not grounded well in the Word of God. That's why, because they get deceived, because they think that it can be all spiritual and no knowledge. Well, that's not true. God put the Bible in front of you so that you would be knowledgeable. Somebody say amen. He didn't put it here so you could say, it's just a book and I don't really have to. You better know this book, because this book is the foundation of all spiritual truth. And if you don't know it, guess what? The devil can come in and say, God doesn't really want you to be rich. He wants you to be poor. And you'd believe it. God really didn't want you to be married. He wanted you to be single. Well, I don't know. You need to ask him. God didn't really love black people. He only loved white people. Well, the only reason you believe that is because you didn't know the word of God. Can you say amen? See, if you knew the word of God, you'd look at that guy and you'd laugh at him. It's like, is that what you think? Here, let me show you. And you would be grounded. You would be firm. Churches at this point are becoming unstable because we're starting to mix and play with things that are not, that are untrue. And even, in fact, we are interpreting the Bible in wrong ways. You got people saying that, in fact, you know, this conversations about sexual depravity are not true, that all of a sudden, oh no, sexuality should be freely shared with everybody. That's not what the Bible says. And in fact, we can see the benefits of doing it the way the world's doing it. Can you? I can. It says, you know what the name of that is? Hollywood. Okay. If you want to see what happens when you live that kind of lifestyle, a lot of Hollywood people are living it, and they're not getting good fruit. And for us to be a nation that follows people that decide that they're not going to follow God, that's foolish. And that's why God wants us to be locked down and very knowledgeable and aware of the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? And we have to find that. But here's another reason why. Because your purpose is hidden in Him. And the reality of the truth of your purpose in life is that the only person that can tell you what it is God. I'm going to mess you up a little more. He knew what it was going to be before you were born. I'm going to mess you up a little more. He gave you the grace to do it. He gave you the grace to do it. See, He had the plan. He already knew you before He actually formed you. He then formed you, but when He formed you, He put into you what you needed to achieve your purpose. Is that pretty straightforward? He put everything in you necessary to do what God purposed you to do. The only choice you have to make is, do I follow God? Do I not? And even that's a hard one, because as life goes on, you may find that at 50 years old, you finally decide you're going to live out God's purpose for your life. At 40 years old, you may decide now, okay, I'm done. It's not working that well with the way I want to do it. I want to do it your way, God. And I'm going to have to spend some time to figure out what that is. And that's the heart of Jeremiah 29. I hope, bring your Bibles. Everybody got their Bibles today? Hallelujah. I hope this scripture is underlined and underscored and just, I mean, you should have worn this scripture through in your Bible. And the reason is because it's so foundational to us walking in the fullness of God in our lives. And it is Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, and I'll just read it briefly. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end or a destination. Then, once you understand this, you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And so the reality of understanding that God has the answer means that you go after Him. This is the important point that we have to get all of our children to as Christian parents, not religious connection, but spiritual understanding that God is their dad. Not only is He their dad, but He is the one that formed them for a purpose. I don't care what they're doing in their lives, they have to understand God is the one that has established their life for a purpose. They have to get that. If they never get that, they think two things that are errors that we've all made the mistake of, most of us have made the mistake of. Error number one, I think I'm the determinant of my purpose. Mistake number two, I don't have a purpose. You see the two. You might even say through different parts of your life, you've exhibited one or the two of them. Number one, I make my purpose. Number two, I don't have a purpose. I got plenty of kids that you can look at and they don't have a purpose. Now, you and I can't give it to them. You know why? Because you're not God. You have to get them connected to God. The gospel is the only way out of this. The gospel is the only way out. And you've heard me about this before. If you're going to minister to the poor, you know what you got to get them first? The gospel. You can feed them, but you better be feeding them the gospel at the same time, if not before. See, what they need is God. They need God. Now, yeah, sometimes you open the door by offering them a sandwich, amen? But that's about a tenth of a second, isn't it? Have the sandwich, give them the sandwich, but get them the gospel. Can you say amen? You see, they can't grow from there. Okay, so you gave them the sandwich, and you were nice to them. So now what? Amen. Okay, so give him another sandwich, right? I'm going to give you a bigger sandwich. And I'm going to give you a Coke with the sandwich. Yeah, I'm going to give you a Coke. Now what? Oh, yeah, okay. Anybody got any spare change with you?
Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow.
I know. You will. See, he knows. He knows. I'll be back tomorrow. For what? A sandwich, a Coke, and some money.
But no word.
Because actually, when you start to talk about the word, what do people tend to do? Well, I don't know. I just wanted the sandwich and the money and the Coke. You know what? You have to hook them with the word of God. You got to give them living water and the bread of life. Come on. Living water and the bread of life. They can't survive. When you walk away, their lives could be asked of them. If you haven't given them God at that point, you've missed an opportunity. That is actually the priority. The priority is God. The priority for our kids is God, so they can say that. I know God knows the plans he has for me, not to destroy me or for evil, but to give me a destination and a hope. If you get people there, they look for God desperately. And you know, that's what the rest of the scripture says. Then they call upon him, and they go and pray to him, and they hearken unto him, they listen for him, and they are found. That's the miracle of the scripture. Now, many of us have run through life and have ignored him and not wanted God and said, hey, give me the job first and then I'll chase you, God. Anybody be honest with yourself? You ever said that? I have. Hey, God, make me the VP and then I'll chase you. You know what he did? You know what he did? He demoted me. He said, I'm not going to give it to you. Y'all should be praising God for that. See, because judgment began in the heart of Steve. Amen? It did. Because he knew that all I wanted was the thing. All I wanted was the Coke. All I wanted was a sandwich. Just give me the sandwich, Lord. Just hand me the sandwich. Can I have a sandwich now? Can I have a sandwich? Can I please have a sandwich? Come on, God, just give me the sandwich. I'll serve you then. I really will. I'll be in love with you then. Because you'll give me what I wanted. And you know what the truth is? You won't. You won't. You see, it's not the hand of God you want. It's the face of God that you want. And when you want the face of God, then everything gets moved out of the way. And see, that's where we need to be as Christians. You should want the face of God, not the hand of God. Now, let me tell you what happens when you seek the face of God. His hand comes with him. You see how we get it out of order? We're like, just give me what I need, God. Give me what I need. Oh, I'll serve you after I have enough money. I'll tithe after I have enough money. I will, God. I really will. I'll come to church when I get that new car. Oh, God, you know, you give me that perfect wife and I really will serve you. I'll be in the ministry at that point. We do that and we barter with God and it's the wrong barter. And the grace of God is that he says no. Or he says, not that. I agree with people that say God usually doesn't say no. He says, not your plan. He says, not your will. Which is not a no. Does that make sense? That's not a no. I said, God, I want to be a VP. That's what I want. I will serve you as VP like nobody's business. And he said, not my plan. He didn't say no. He said, not my plan. And he said, not my plan. And here's another mystery about the truth of God in your life. He knows what you want. He knows what you want. You know why he knows what you want? Because he made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. So he's not surprised when you want something. He's not surprised what you want. He's not surprised about what you want because he made you. So it's not a big mystery to him. But he has already planned for your life, so he may correct you from that. He may say, I know you want that, but not now. I know you want that, but I want you to want me first. I want you to be in love with me. And once you're in love with me, then all that stuff comes easily. Scripture tells us that. Seek first what? The kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. You better connect those two because they're connected. They're not separate. You don't seek the kingdom of God and not the righteousness of God. Can you say amen? You don't just seek the kingdom of God in terms of just what it is. You seek the king of God of heaven as well. Right? You see king, the king as well as the kingdom. Does that make sense? because you don't get them separate. The kingdom comes with the king. The king comes with the kingdom. You actually get both. And praise God for that. But you need to seek them, because after that, all these things are added unto you. Can you say amen to that? I don't know. Y'all didn't hear that. Because y'all should have said, hallelujah. You mean I seek God, brother? Okay, so let me translate that. Brother, if I seek God, all the things I need and want potentially come to me through that? Is that what you said, brother? That's exactly what I said. What's out of order is your want versus your need. What's out of order is that you want what he's got, not who he is. And when you want who he is, guess what? He made you, so he knows how to fulfill your desires. Once you have that relationship with God where you trust him to the point of saying, God, you already know what I want. You made me. You made me to have certain desires and wants and certain bent, right? You made me. So why should I question whether you're going to love me if I love you? Why should I question whether you're going to meet my needs and my desires? Absolutely you will, because you know me better than anybody. You made me. So obviously you would know how to fulfill my desires. Can anybody say amen to that? See, once you're with God, you don't have to question anything else. It's the with God that you're struggling with and giving over to it. So you know what? Once you're with God, you don't have to worry about your purpose. Amen? You don't, because he had it hidden before you were born. So all he's got to do is put it in play in your life, and that's you saying yes. Oh, come on. I'm preaching better than that. I am. Praise God. And I'm hoping it's getting into your spirit. And you don't have to yell and scream here, but at some point today or during the week, you should yell and scream, because it should sink into your spirit, and you should, wow. Not because I said it, but because it's true. Can you say amen? Because God's purpose in your life, his truth, his ability to take you from having not been born but being hidden in his heart to being here today, perfectly planned for what he has for your future. See, you have no idea how well taken care of you are. You don't. You have no idea how well taken care of you are. And he planned for you even before you were born. He has a plan for you. And if you will let him, he will take you all the way through. He will get you there. But you got to trust him. You got to believe it. And you got to listen to him and search for him with all your heart. Let's go to the next scripture. I told you that the trap is that we get stuck. And this is in Romans 8, verse 5. And it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And this is all about what you meditate on. Whether you are chasing after your flesh. And what is flesh? Flesh is, I'm black. You know, I'm starting to not ever tell anybody that. But let me help you understand why. Because in my essence, I am a child of God. I am Christ's. I am Christ's. I'm not even a GE guy. I'm not a consultant. I'm not a Republican. I'm none of those things. You know why? Because my identity is hidden in God himself, so I am Christ's. That's who you are. The more you confess you are Christ's, the more the reality will come home to you. See, we are messing ourselves up because we're saying, well, I'm a Republican, and you're a Democrat. I'm black, you're white. I'm a man, you're a woman. We're separating ourselves out from the reality of who God made us. God, that's an incidental issue with God. Who you are, who you look like, where you live, what kind of political party you follow, that's incidental with God. The truth is, you are his. You're his. Now connect the idea, if you're his, everything's taken care of. Everything's planned out. Everything's been endowed already in your life to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. Can you say amen to that? See, we're confused. Anymore, the devil has had a field day with us. Did you know race didn't even exist until what, the 1300s? Did you know that? And it's a devilish idea. What the devil did, he said, there was a family of God, but I'm going to confuse the heck out of that family by saying Johnny and Susie came from totally different places. Even though, because they live different places. And because they look different, well, you got a big nose and you got a little nose. Well, you're the big nose clan and you're the little nose clan. You see it? He does it all day long and we buy into it. You know what? You're a child of God and you're a child of God. I hope you're his and I hope you're his too. And if you're both his, guess what that makes you? Brothers. See it? If we could just get back to the simplicity of what God put together, if we, the stories that he's told us, who was in the ark besides animals? People. We tell that story in error because we make it about the animals. You kidding me? That was about the people. That was about God judging a world that was completely evil. Don't even question whether God should have wiped everybody out. He is a just God, therefore, he should have. But in the midst of that, he saved a family. Now that family, when you looked at them, you said one was dark, one was ruddy or red, and the other one was brown. Now the devil at that point could have just taken them out and just said, hey, you're the brown clan, you're the ruddy clan, and he's the brown clan, right? The black clan, the red clan, and the brown clan. He wasn't able to do it because I believe Noah was wiser than that. And he couldn't separate them then. But do you see where we are today? It's just an example of how the devil divides. And he uses simple, silly, external means to do it. But God has a plan to bring us all back together. You know what it's called? The plan of redemption and adoption. How many of you know God has a great adoption plan in place? He has a great adoption plan. And he did it for us. Because he said, you guys are thinking you ain't the same. You guys are thinking, number one, you ain't a child of mine, which you were because I made you, but I need to re-adopt you guys because you don't think we're connected. Somehow you got lied to, and it said that you were no longer my children, but you are. So I just have to reinforce it, and I'm going to re-adopt all of y'all. But then once I do that, remember, there's only one daddy, and that means when I adopt all of y'all, what does that make you? Brothers? And so, did you have a choice in that? Do you have a choice as to whether another Christian is your brother or your sister? You don't, do you? And what should you do when you don't have a choice? Accept it. Somebody should have said hallelujah. You should accept it. It is what God purposed. And yet we are brothers and sisters now. Not by what we did, but by what God did. And he readopted us into his family. And guess what? You wonder why I now say, I'm his. Well, what are you, brother? I'm his. Well, where'd you come from? Are you African-American? Well, I've never been to Africa. Amen? The closest would be American, but I don't know. That doesn't feel right to me. Because I'm his. And if I can find that part of my heart, and I can reinforce and continue, you know what? I'm his. Guess what? I'm his. Hey, I'm his. Who are you? I'm his. Who are you? I'm his too. Then we're brothers. You see it? The simplicity of how God can bring us together with a simple idea. And the idea is, you're his. Amen. You're his. And if you're his, guess what? He gets to plan your life for you. When are we just going to just roll over and just say, I submit? It is you that can plan it because you have the plans for me. But let's keep going. I'm going to stop in one scripture here. And we started in that scripture last time. We are his. It's a proof of the statement that I'm making about, you know, and guess what? And some of you may not like it, but that's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. We were all bought back from slavery. So, number one, you're no different. Number two, you can understand people who have been enslaved. Because we were all enslaved. Does anybody remember it in their lives? I do. I was a slave to self for a period of time. I was a slave to worldly thinking for a period of time. I was a slave to racism for a time. Those were enslavements for me. Those were things I didn't think I could get out of. I was enslaved to this idea that I didn't have a dad. I was one of those kids, right, that didn't have a father. I was enslaved to that. We've all felt slavery, but you know what? We've all been bought back. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20 says, "Let every man abide in the same calling in which he was called. Are you called being a servant? Care not of it for it, but if you may be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men." You are bought with a price. There is no reason for us to be so beholden to other men and other things that we subvert our submission to God. We don't need to be man pleasers. We don't need to be a part of a group necessarily, amen, unless they glorify God. And that's my test for any group I'm involved with. You got to be glorifying God. Can you say amen to that? You know what? I'll be a Republican the day the Republicans glorify God. Amen? I'll be a part of your church the day you glorify God. I'll be a part of your education system the day you glorify God. But see, this creates a huge amount of tension, doesn't it? Because if you live by this, that, you know what, I'm bought with a price, I'm his, and therefore I'm not going to align myself with anything that doesn't glorify him. Do you know how many things you need to go quit? Do you know how many people you need to not have such intimate relationships with? Do you know how many associations you now have to question if that's the way you're going to live, but that's the way you should live? Because all of the things, those things serve other men. They don't serve God. And it is a challenge that we all have to make. You know, at a certain point, the Christians in the world are going to have to extract themselves from the world. Did you know that? How many of you can see it coming? It's coming. That's why. Because at some point, God is not any longer going to be okay with you being a Republican and a Democrat if you're going to follow them and serve men, because he's going to say, here's where the Democrats have missed me, and here's where the Republicans have missed me. There is no politics in the world that's going to cover the kingdom law that we should be following. There's no government in the world that's ever going to cover the kingdom principles that we should be following. And so there's going to come a time where we're going to have to withdraw ourselves because they don't glorify our God. And you know what? Get ready, because it's coming, and there's places where you can already see it. If there's a church that's not going to glorify God, let me tell you something. If this is one that doesn't glorify God, you need to leave. You need to leave. If I'm not a pastor that's going to glorify God, you need to walk away from me. You need to kiss me on the cheek, pat me on the back, and walk out of this door. Because at some point, eternity is going to be asked of you, and you're going to go before the great judge, and Jesus himself is going to say, did you serve men or did you serve me? Which one did you serve? Did you serve your wife or did you serve me? Because she can't save you. Your politics isn't going to save you. Your education's not going to save you, because all of us are going to stand before Jesus himself, and he's going to say, did you serve me? Did you serve me? And I believe that pulling away, there's two pulling aways that are going on. I have to tell you, there are both. One is the apostasy of Christians. The other is the redemption of the children of God. There are two pulling aways that are happening. We need to know both. Just like there are two marks that are going to be on people in the end times. One is going to be the mark of the beast. The other is going to be the mark of God. Can you say amen? You see, I get a choice with God. I get a choice with him. Just like he said on the two by the two mountains to the children of Israel. He said, choose this day. Choose this day. On this side, I'm going to show you curses and disobedience. On this side, I'm going to show you blessing and obedience. Choose blessing. He absolutely, don't be concerned about it. It has to happen, because the wheat and the chaff grew up together. Can anybody say amen? This separation is necessary. Are you always going to be able to do and associate with the things that you've been doing and associating with? No, because this time is becoming one where there is a separation and a culling apart. And there is the chance that we have to choose, you know, between God and the world. It's happening. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I don't know about you, but when I go before Jesus, I don't want to have a question as to whether he's going to say well done to me. You've heard me say that. I don't want to have a question as to whether Jesus is going to say, well, am I in the book or not? I don't want to have that question. I'm going to solve every other question. That question, I'm solving. Every other question in my life, well, am I going to be rich and famous? Am I going to, you know, what's going to happen? Those questions I'm okay with because God has a plan for me. You understand that? See, that's what I rest on him by faith. But the question I'm going to answer is, am I his? That's the question I'm going to answer. Am I his? I'm going to be his. I'm going to be his. I'm going to purpose throughout my life and in all the corners of my life. And that's why even politics has to bow its knee to God. How many of you know that? I don't care if you're born Democrat. You better find Jesus. You better find Jesus. You better find Jesus in your politics and your education and your blackness or your whiteness. You better find Jesus. See, because it ain't going to matter, all that stuff, when you get before him. Only thing that's going to matter is, are you his kid or not? Have you served him? Have you bought off on him? Now, again, I got to be careful because some of us will be like, wow, you're telling me it's cut and dry. No, I'm telling you to have a heart for God. That's what I'm telling you. Angle toward him. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to be guided toward him. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that your intention is to be his. Your intention is to be his. Your intention is to be sold out to God. Your intention is to be knowledgeable about Jesus. Your intention is to be identified with him. And so when the choices come and they say, are you going to deny Jesus? Heck no, because you know what? He's the Lord of heaven. He's the eternal judge. You can judge me. Go for it. I have to be his. And I have to be found in him. And the only way I can do that is by long-term focusing and guiding myself toward him. That's what my life is for. My life's not to just get my ticket punched and go to heaven. My life's to be assured of salvation. That's what it is. And that's why I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. You know why? Because every day I'm saying, I want to be his. I want to be his. I just have to be his. No matter what I do, I have to be his. Because when the time comes, man, it's not going to matter anything else. Nothing else is going to matter for you and the people you know. Now, here's where we have to get really sober. There are people we are playing a game with. We are saying it's okay not to challenge them on their faith. We're saying, oh, they don't want to hear it. They're not going to listen to me. You know what? If time really does run out, it may run out. We have to be sober about. If we know that we're supposed to be his, we also know a lot of other people in our lives that need to say the same thing. Can anybody say amen? There's a sense of urgency that we have to get people saved. Not just ticket punched, but angling toward God and saying, I don't care what I did, I'm imperfect, I get that, but I accept you, Jesus, and I want to begin to live for you. That's what I want. I want to live for you. Whatever that means. Now, you may have to tell me what that is, God. I understand that, but I want to live for you. And that dedication comes from the example that we set. And we as Christians have to be dedicated toward God in as much of our lives as possible because that is the draw for other people into the kingdom. Does that make sense? It's my passion for God that people see. It's my unwillingness to just go by politics that people begin to hear. And when people challenge you and say, well, why would you be that way? Because God made me that way, and I want to be that way. I want to chase after God, because when all this is done, and other people are in office, and the devil is vanquished, and Jesus is sitting on the throne, who are you going to go to then? Are you going to argue with him then? As if it's a democracy? We don't go to a democracy. We go to a kingdom. And you know what? Jesus isn't going to debate it with you. He's just going to be right. Can you say amen to that? He ain't. Don't think you're going to a democracy where everybody gets to give their vote. That ain't where you're going. You're going to somewhere where Jesus has the final vote. And he has already decided, but he is the righteous judge. And you've never been governed by somebody like that before, have you? You've never been governed by a righteous judge, a person that is pure and perfect. And that's what's hard for us. That's why we rebel against authority, because we've never been governed by the God that wanted to govern us. But it's because we asked for a fleshly man to come into our lives, and Israel asked for it, and we've been dealing with it ever since. Do you know that? The history tells us that God wanted to be our king, but we didn't want him. When we said, no, I don't want you. I want a man. And we've been dealing with that ever since. So every time you want to complain about your leaders, remember, we made that choice. We made that choice. Mankind made that choice. But you know what? Today, you can be free of that choice. Because God's purpose is not for you to serve men, but to serve him. You get to do one or the other. That's the beauty of it. You get to do one or the other. How many of you, I mean, you can. You can be guided by men. It can be that you serve men and appease men and men guide your life, or you can be guided by God, and he takes you out from under that. But you got to be willing to do what he says to do. Does that make sense? I get it. It's a bit of a sober message, but I want us to be activated in the truth. I don't want us to play games with Christianity. It's not to be played with, and I don't want it to be Christianity. I want it to be, we are his. We are his. We are his, bought and paid for in blood, and that's important. Let me tell you the final scripture. And yes, you can challenge me at any point about how I live this out, because that's what we're supposed to do with one another. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And this is the final scripture that I'm going to leave you with. And it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, we've been bought and paid for. You've heard that today over and over again. You've been bought and paid for. You never were yours. But in case you were deluded to think you were, when you came into the kingdom, you certainly are not. We have to admit that to the Lord. I believe there's times when we need to pray and say, God, help me recognize that I've been redeemed. I've been bought and paid for. It's like a slave. I told you, we've all been slaves. This is the scripture that reminds us we've all been paid. We've been bought and paid for. It's like we were hanging there, and we said, Lord, come take me. And we were under the slavery to the devil. And he had us. He had us enslaved to all kinds of things, drugs, sex. He's got plenty of tools to use. But at some point, we all bowed our knees and we said, Jesus, come get me. And he said, okay, I've come for you. But at that point, you were bought back from slavery by Jesus himself. You now are owned by him. He's your master. Not just your Savior, but your Lord. And we have to remind ourselves of that so we walk true to that calling. We walk true to what he wants us to be. We go to him and ask him, Lord, then tell me what you want from my life. Hopefully every one of us in here has gotten to that point in our lives where we said, okay, enough. Tell me what you want from me. And it hasn't been instantaneous, but it has begun a process in your life that redeems your life and calls it back to the purpose of God. Can you say amen to that? Then stand with me this morning. We have all been bought by Jesus. If we were deluded before that and thought, man, I made my life and I was just an accident, my life doesn't matter, you should see something different now, and that is Jesus is your Lord. But if he's your Lord, you have to ask him what he wants. You must. And you have to humble yourself in prayer and say, Lord, if you made me for something that's bigger than I know, and I don't even know how to understand it, let alone get there. And if I will humble myself before you, will you take claim and make claim of me so that you can deliver me to that destination? And I believe every person that's willing to say that gets that as a result. Bow your heads with me this morning. I want us to rededicate our lives to God and just say, Lord, just where you are, just say to him, Lord, I'm willing for you to own my life. Lord, I'm willing for you to guide my life. Whatever good or bad I've done in my life, I'm willing to forsake it for the purpose that you have for me and even my family. Many of us need to rededicate our families to God and our children, our kids to God. Yes, you can rededicate them to the Lord, and you can give them back over to him so that he can deliver them to the destination. So, Lord God, I pray that as people are praying right now, that we are recommitting our hearts to you, Lord. We're reassigning ownership to you. We're saying no matter what it is that we've done or where we've been, you still are God, and you still own everything about us. Lord, take and use what we've done. Lord, take where we've been and use it for your purposes, that your kingdom would be built, that you would be glorified, and that we would arrive at your purpose in our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that because that is your plan, to take us home, but to bring us through this life, achieving what it is you called us to do. And Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you and we thank you and we say, in Jesus' name, amen.